Right, let's stand to our feet. I appreciate the good season of prayer. Never can pray enough. If you get caught up on your prayer life, let me know. Acts chapter number 8, the book of Acts chapter number 8 is what we'll use kind of as a springboard. I'm just going to talk with you some. I don't know that I'll do a whole lot of preaching. That's kind of hard for a preacher not to preach. If I do, it won't be intentional or unintentional. It'll just be because it's spontaneous. But I do want to talk to you about missions, and I hope that it'll be a help to you. There's a lot of people probably that walks through the doors of a church, perhaps even this church. They see flags, they see banners and posters, they hear the word missions, they hear words like deputation or veteran missionaries. They hear these terms and they probably wonder, what is that? You know, what is this thing of missions in the church? And so I want to try to help answer that question and some other questions surrounding missions, just in a simple, common sense way, right out of the Word of God. Okay? And so I sit down at my desk over the last few days, and I just wrote out some questions that I have had posed to me, and even I went back when I first got saved, and I thought about how that Sharon and I, when we started attending the church and we heard this thing about missions and we saw missionaries, we didn't fully grasp what was going on and what was happening, but I'm glad that I was teethed in Faith Promise Missions. I'm glad that I was taught from the Word of God that it was a biblical principle, and that it's the mission of the church. It's the purpose of the church, really, is missions. And so we're going to see that. And Acts chapter number 8, if you'll hold your hand here and go to Matthew chapter number 28, hold your hand to Acts, we'll come back there. Matthew 28, I want to show you where we get our commission. This is where the church has been commissioned. We receive this commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a suggestion. I want you to understand this, okay? Missions is not a suggestion. It's not an option as far as taking a choice. Missions or no. It's a commandment. And unfortunately, many, many churches in our day have just chosen to disregard this clear commandment of the Lord. And here it is in verse number 18. I want you to underline the word power. Look at what Jesus said in verse number 18, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now here's the power for missions. It comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from a pastor. It doesn't come from a family or a group of families. The power for missions, the authority for you and I to take this message, this gospel message around the world, is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, all power is given unto me, not us, okay, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here's the plan. Look at verse number 18. Go ye. And you know, when you look at that word ye, it simply means all of you. Go ye. All of you. He wasn't just pointing out Peter or John. He wasn't even just pointing out the 11. He was looking in the future and pointing out every person that would receive him as their personal Savior. Go ye therefore. Why? Because I'm commissioning you. Because I have the power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, here's the plan. The plan is not to send people to clothe the naked. Nothing wrong with clothing the naked. As a matter of fact, there's some naked in America that need to be clothed. But that's not the primary purpose of missions, to clothe the naked or to feed the hungry or to house the homeless. That's not the primary purpose of missions. The primary purpose is to teach them, right? To win them, then baptize them, and then disciple them. That's missions. Missions is not just going and getting a bunch of people saved. It's to baptize them, that they would follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and then that they would be discipled in their newfound faith so that they in turn could go. That's missions, all right? It's missions here, it's missions in China, it's missions in Australia, it's missions in Mexico. That's missions. So the plan is very simple. Go, right? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now, I want you to underline a couple of words in verse 19. I want you to underline the word all right, or at least fix that in your mind. Now, we're in 35 nations, Fellowship Baptist Church, and we're on our way to 194. We're already on all six continents. See, I take this very personal. I take God's word literal. Amen. And you say, well, that's a big task. We serve a big God. That's why verse 19 is preceded by verse 18. Amen. Because I don't have the power. You don't have the power. We don't possess the power. But Jesus has all power. So he can enable us to do what we in ourselves cannot do. So realizing that he has the power, then we can take the plan and we can realize that he will empower that plan and energize that plan as we, by faith, trust him to do so. Then I want to close with this, the promise. Teaching them, he said in verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's the promise. And lo, I am with you always. There'll never be a time when you're involved in missionary endeavor, when you're involved in the souls of men, that God will not be with you. This is a promise of his presence. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So be it. So this is just a simple definition of missions. The power, the plan, the promise. Can't do it any other way. This is the way that God wants it. Let's have a word of prayer. I ask you to be seated, and you can turn to Acts chapter 8. Father, thank you for the word of God. And this time, I pray that you would help me to simply just lay out what the plan that you have for the church is. Not just Fellowship Baptist Church, but every Bible-believing, Bible-based ministry that you ordain. I pray, God, that we would be yielding and willing and obedient to this plan. Open our hearts, and I pray, God, that you would teach us from your word that we are part of the greatest work on earth, a global work, worldwide evangelism. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask this prayer in his name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, here in Acts chapter 8, I want to point out a couple of things. But as I do, I wrote down about just a few questions here. The first question that I wrote down, what is missions? Now, what is missions? Well, you could probably ask 10 people and get 10 different answers. All right, some people say, well, you know, missions is feeding the hungry. Well, that's not missions, okay? Now, I'm not saying that can't be a part of missions. There's certainly nothing wrong. Jesus fed the hungry. There's nothing wrong with feeding the hungry, but that in itself is not missions, okay? It's not sheltering the homeless. It's not clothing the naked. Though that could be a part of it, but that's not the primary purpose of missions. What is missions? Well, in a general sense, going out and winning souls. We've been sent by God. You and I, we're Christians. In a real general sense, if you're saved, you are a missionary. You are involved in missions. And everyone that is not saved is a mission field, you see, in a general sense. So Madison can be a mission field. And you, as a born-again believer, could be a missionary to go out into Madison or Culpeper or Greene County or whatever county you're from. There's lost people in all these counties. And if you're saved, you have the gospel message. You have the good news. And God wants to send you to tell them what he sent someone to tell you. That's, in a nutshell, in a general way, that's missions. It's us telling. Yeah, someone said it's someone telling someone else about Jesus in a general way. Now, in a specific way, it's a commission. It's when God calls someone and deputizes them. Now, what do I mean by deputize? What is a deputy? A deputy is someone who is commissioned to stand in the place of the sheriff, to stand in his place. He's been deputized. He's been commissioned to stand in, to be a substitute in his place. And so in a real sense, we are representatives. We've been deputized to stand in. Why? Because Christ has ascended up to heaven. But he's left us here, and he's deputized us. That's why when missionaries go around and get support, that's called deputation. They're representing Christ, and they're getting ready as they are deputized to go and be ambassadors. They're going to speak for Christ. They're going to represent Christ in some area of the world that perhaps has never heard of Christ. And so as they travel around, we give them support, and we put our hand of approval upon them by saying, we will join with you. We will partner with you as you go to China and Mexico and Cambodia and Argentina and whatever nation they go to. We're getting involved. We're partnering with them as we say we're becoming a part of your deputation, so that when you go, then you will be an ambassador. You will be a representative, not only of Jesus Christ, but of Fellowship Baptist Church. The Christians in America that help send them, they're representing them. As they go from place to place, they begin to represent. This coming week, there's going to be 4 missionary families. And we're going to have some choices to make. And I'll get to that in just a moment. We've already made the choice with one of them, Mark Tosin, the Mark Tosin family, that we want to identify, we want to partner with you. We want to be part of that deputation now, that ambassador work that you're doing in China. So what is missions? Missions is God calling a family to go and tell other families about Jesus Christ, and then training them so that they will go and tell other families about Jesus Christ, and then they will go, and it just keeps spreading. That's missions. Now here in Acts chapter 8, there's a wonderful picture of what missions is, and I want you to write it down, okay? In Acts chapter number 8, you know this account in the scripture. It's very familiar. It's when God sent persecution to the church, and the church was scattered. Philip went, and he went down as far as Gaza. The Bible says in verse number 26 that he went down from Jerusalem to Gaza, or Gaza, which is desert. And then the Bible says he arose and went, and look at verse 27, and behold, a man. Now I want you to highlight or just underline that word. Here's a man. Now here's a man that doesn't know Jesus. All right? Here's a man that's searching. But he doesn't know Jesus. He's searching for him. He's looking. He went to up to, the Bible says, he's coming back from Jerusalem for to worship. He was looking. He was searching. But he didn't have the truth. He didn't have the answers. He was looking for them, but he didn't have them. And so the Bible says that God done something about that. Look, if you would, in verse number 31. This man, when he was asked, he said, you understand what you're doing? You understand what you're reading? You understand what's going on here? And he said, well, in verse number 31, how can I except some man should guide me? You know, there's a lot of people out there that way. They realize there's something missing in my life. I'm not complete. I'm not whole. I'm missing something. Something's missing in my life. And I need somebody to break it down for me. I need somebody to explain to me what's missing in my life. Somebody that has found that treasure that I search for, I need them to tell me how I can obtain it. He says, so how can I? So this man that was searching is approached by another man, and he says, you understand what you're searching for? Do you understand what's going on in your life? He said, how can I? Look at verse 31. How can I except some man? I want you to underline that. So in verse number 27, we have a man. And then in verse number 31, we have some man. So you see, this is missions. It's getting a man together with some man. All right? It's God sending some man to a man. See, God sent Philip here. Philip just didn't decide. He just didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to go here. No, God moved on his heart. And if you'll search this, the Spirit of God led him there. The Spirit of God led him there. And so you have some man telling a man, look what he tells him about. Look, if you would, in verse number 34.
And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? So you have some man telling a man about some other man. You see that? That's missions in a nutshell. It's some man, the missionary, telling a man, the lost person, about some other man. Who was that some other man? Well, it wasn't the prophet, Isaiah. Look what he said. He said, now, in verse number 34, he said, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet, who speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then verse 35 tells us who that some other man is. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture to preach unto him, and here's your some other man, Jesus. So it's some man telling some other man about Jesus, right? It's some man telling a man about some other man, which is Jesus. That's missions. That's missions. You just tell people about Jesus. These families are not going to westernize these people. We're going to teach them how to live like Americans. Well, I hope not. America's in terrible trouble. I sure hope not that that's not what they have on their mind when they get there. We're going to teach them to convert from Asian sinners to American sinners, African sinners to American sinners. No, we're going to teach them about Jesus and how they can have their sin forgiven, how they can be set free. This is not about westernizing people. This is not about teaching people to dress like we dress or to do the things that we do. It's to teach them a dependence upon the same Christ that we depend on. It's to teach them a faith that they can instill in the same person that we have placed our faith in, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to get that straight. So when you see some of these missionaries and they're in some of the garb that they're in, they're dressed. Well, you know what? I don't expect people in Africa to dress like me. Amen. They have what is custom to them. They have their type of clothing. And listen, there's modest clothing in most every culture. And so if a man doesn't get up and have on a suit and tie, that's not going to offend me. Maybe in their culture, dress is different than as far as dressing up than what it is here. You see, here this is dressing up. There, they may have different garb that's dressing up to them. Maybe a headdress, maybe something else. I don't know what the culture, depends on what culture you're in. So I want you to get that down. What is missions? Missions is when God sends some man to tell a man about some other man. And that may be you. God may send you. As a matter of fact, God will send you. If you're saved, God saved you to tell other people. Now, he may not want you to tell people in Cambodia. He may want you to partner with a family that's going to tell people in Cambodia. But now, he may call on you to go to a certain field to tell a group of people, a people group about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's God's business. That's not my business. I'm not in the business of calling people to fields. And I don't recommend anyone get in that business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. You stay out of that business. Amen? Listen to me now. You stay. There's a couple of businesses I've learned to stay out of. Number one, I've learned to stay out of the called preacher calling business. I don't call people to preach. That's God's business. That's not my business. I'll help groom them, train them, prepare them if God deems that I would be privileged to do that. But now, I don't call men to preach. And I recommend you get out of that business if you're in it. I don't call missionaries to mission fields. I've been around some that try, and it messes people's lives up. You get out of that business if you're in that business. You stay out of that business. That's God's business. Stay out of God's business. You let God call people where he wants them. Amen. You pray for them. You support them. You encourage them when God does call them. Get involved and help them and partner with them. And when God calls you, well, you answer and say yes. Another business I stay out of, I don't pair up people. I got out of the marriage business. Well, you'd be a good pair for this one. I got out of that. Listen, get out of that business. That's God's business. Amen. Stay out of that business. Well, I know a fellow you might want to meet. Stop right there. Get out of that business. You let God, that's God's business. When God got ready for Adam, he made him Eve. And when God gets ready for you, he'll send you someone too. Say amen with me. So while I'm looking, well, I don't know about that looking either. Why? That's not the message tonight. What is missions? We better get back to missions, amen, and leave marriage alone for a while. Too many matchmakers out here. And we need to stay focused on matching up with some lost people and getting them saved. That's what we need to stay focused on. What is missions? Well, it's some man telling a man about some other man. It's about getting people saved. Number two, where is the mission field? Well, Matthew 13:38. Don't turn there. But in Matthew 13:38, Jesus said this, the world is the field. Wherever there's lost people. You hear people talking about going to the mission field. You heard that term? Where there's lost people, that's a mission field. Somebody's either said you're either a missionary or a mission field. Say amen. You're one of the two. You're one of those two. You're either a missionary telling people about Jesus, or you're a mission field needing somebody to tell you about Jesus. So what is the mission field? The mission field is a place where people are lost that need someone to tell them about Jesus. Now, it may be in Morocco, but it may be in Madison. It may be across the seas, but it may be across the street. So we need to understand, all right? That's the mission field. What is the mission field? The mission field is the world. The world is the mission field. Jesus said that, all right? And so we need to keep that in mind. Now, he also said this. He said, lift up your eyes in John chapter number 4. And he said, look on the field, for they are white, all ready to harvest. In other words, God said, I'm doing a work, and I'm preparing people, and I'll have them ready when harvest time comes. Now, there's a great message in this, and I'm not going to get into it, but I want to tell you something. If we will be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, God will do His work in preparing their hearts for a gospel witness. Now, I noticed as the men were praying tonight, and I'm very thankful for this, because it lets me know that these men that were praying understands the importance of God preparing the hearts of the people in these particular areas in which these men are going. Man's not going to get anything accomplished for the kingdom of God without the aid of the Holy Spirit of God. See, God moves on people's hearts, and He softens people's hearts to be receptive to the gospel witness. Now, He does it in areas around the world, but He does it right here in our area too. And we need to pray, God, soften the hearts. Soften the hearts. I notice when Brother Dan Ward prays for our country, he'll pray for our representatives, and he'll say, soften their heart. Make their hearts soft to the gospel witness. See, we need to get God involved in preparing the hearts of people for the gospel witness. So what is missions? Number two, what is the mission field? Well, the mission field's the world. It's where lost people are. Number three, where did missions begin? Where did missions begin? Well, you know, some people say, well, you know, missions began in the Garden of Eden. God went after Adam. Well, it'd be kind of hard to argue with that, but I'm not going to accept that answer. All right? Well, missions began in the Old Testament when God raised up Abraham and birthed a nation. Well, we could go on and on, right? In the book of Jonah, he sent Jonah to Nineveh. But really, I believe when you look at the Scripture as it's given, mission centers around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe the Scripture that we read in Matthew 28 is really in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, when Jesus said, I will build my church, and then He commissioned men to go and preach the gospel. That is where, in my observation, in my study of the Scripture, that's where missions began. It's where He deputized, He empowered, He commissioned those men to go out. And it's been still happening. All right? Still happening. God's still working through what those men accomplished as we move forward. We're still carrying out that commission, that great commission. It was reiterated in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world, you see. So that's where missions began. It's when the New Testament church, when the disciples of the Lord that branched and began to be the New Testament church, began to go into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's missions. That's where it began. You say, well, I believe it began in the garden. That's okay, if that's what you want to believe. I believe it began with Abraham. That's all right. I believe it began when Jesus gave the commission. I want you to go into all the world. All the world, you see. As far as I can tell, Abraham didn't go into all the world. Jonah didn't go into all the world. I've read by people. So that's where missions began. Well, I believe that world evangelism, missions began when Jesus said, go ye into all the world. All the world. He meant that, brethren. He meant that. And he has the power to enable us to do it. Who are you concerned about tonight? That'll tell me a lot about your life. So I'm concerned about me and my family. That's very selfish. If that's the only people that we're concerned about, that's a very selfish way to live life. So I'm concerned about the people that's in close proximity to me. That's very shallow. We need to be concerned about people we've never seen before. There's billions of people I've never laid eyes on, probably in this life, never will. But I have a concern that they hear the gospel and they get an opportunity to enjoy the forgiveness of sin and this relationship with God that I enjoy. I want everybody to enjoy what I'm enjoying. Don't you? I want everyone to enjoy that. So where did missions begin? Well, I believe it began in the life, ministry, it culminated in the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another question. Why does missions continue? Why are we still doing missions? Some 2,000 plus years later, why are we still doing missions? Because it is the purpose of the local church. And the church is still here. The church is still here. It's the purpose of the local church as to what? To get people saved. Now listen to me. That's the evangelistic purpose of the church, to get people saved. Remember when we talked about the multiplication aspect of the church? You go get people saved. That's the multiplication. But then there's the edification. We've got to teach them. We've got to train them. We have to disciple them for the work of the ministry. And that's why we come to church, to grow and to learn about what our purpose is in life. That's why missions continues. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why missions continues. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish. Now listen, either you believe that or you don't. There are those who say, well, you know, God died for just some. No, that's not what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9 says God is not willing that any should perish. Now that either means that or it doesn't. But that all should come to repentance. It either means it or it doesn't. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. It either means that or it doesn't. Will all men be saved? I think you know the evident answer to that. Not all men have been, nor will all men be. But that doesn't give us an out to the responsibility to tell all people about Jesus, right? Amen. So, why does missions continue? Because God loves people. And Christ died for people. And there's people that need to hear this gospel message. It's the purpose of the church. A church that's not telling people about Jesus and winning them to Christ and getting people baptized and discipling them in the Lord and teaching them and grooming them for the work of the ministry. Brethren, that church has no, it really has no business calling itself a church. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Here's a question. What is the Great Commission? Well, we just looked at that. It's where God commands us to do what I'm talking to you about. Right? That's the Great Commission. We've been commissioned. God has saved us and He's commissioned us to do this work. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the missionary. Every person that's been saved has been called upon to do this. Every saved person. So, you know, I don't do well at telling other people about Jesus. Why not? Has Jesus done something in your life? Let me share this is just a simple illustration. I would guarantee, has anyone won $1 million recently? I didn't think so. The offerings hadn't gone up. I just asking, make sure there weren't no God robbers among us. Listen, if you won $1 million, I don't think you'd have a problem telling people. Now, there's some people you wouldn't tell because they'd be wanting to borrow some. Probably not even borrow. They'd probably want you to give them some. But if something really fantastic happened in your life, and I don't even want to use money, just something really fantastic happened in your life, I really just don't think you'd have a problem sharing that with people. As a matter of fact, I believe if you would look back over the course of your life, when something really fantastic, something big, something wonderful happened in your life, you were excited. You just couldn't wait. You were busting at the seams, quote unquote, to tell other people. What greater thing could happen in a person's life than them getting saved in the grace of God? No wonder the disciples said, we can't help but to speak the things which we've seen and heard. Right? And so, in a sense, if we're not telling others about Jesus, it's because we've lost our joy. We've lost our first love. It's because we've grown cold and indifferent, not only toward a lost and dying world, but toward the God who saved us and gave us the joy of the Lord in our heart. And so the Great Commission is when God's people tell other people about Jesus Christ. And brethren, I'm here to tell you, every single Christian needs to be carrying out the Great Commission. Telling people about Jesus, partnering with people. Say, well, you know, I don't have a lot of money to give. God didn't say give a lot of money. I can't afford it. Well, if you wait till you can afford, you never will give. Say amen with me now. I'm trying to help you. See, there's a lot of things. I have people come to me from time to time and they say, well, you know, preacher, young couples, we want to get married, they say. That's great. Young man, young lady, they in love, want to get married. I think it's great. I think it's natural too, by the way. Amen. Your parents, you know, they're for it and you want to get married, that's great. And then along the way, somewhere in our conversation, almost always I get this, but we just don't know if we can afford it. Well, if you wait till you can afford a lot of things in life, it won't happen. Just don't know. If you can't afford to get married, something's wrong. Amen. Something's wrong with you. I hear people talk about missions. Well, I'd like to give, but I can't afford it. Who are you trusting? What are you trusting in life? What do you mean you can't afford it? Can you afford to eat? Can we afford to buy clothes and shelter and have things in life? Sure we can. Well, then why can't we afford to give so that other people can hear the gospel and be saved in the grace of God? It's not that we can't afford it. It's just we're not willing to do what it takes to afford it. Most of the time. Most of the time. So, the Great Commission. Then here's just a couple more. Well, what is a missions conference? We're getting ready to have missions conference, mission revival. What is that? Well, it's where we invite guests that are going, that have been called of God to go to other countries, and we're going to bring them in, and we essentially, this week, and I want you to look at it this way, okay? We're going to hold a church-wide business meeting. And we're going to make some decisions this coming week. We're going to make some decisions. Are we going to partner with these people and get involved in what God has called them to do? See, that's a church-wide thing. This is not just here and this and that. Could you imagine what it would be like if every time we had a business meeting to discuss our property or to discuss our building or to discuss our Sunday school department or bus ministry, just a handful of people showed up? No, in business meetings, people that are involved and that care and engage in the church show up. Well, this is like a big business meeting. We're making a decision to continue on in missions and to even expand our horizon, expand in what we're doing in missions. And essentially, when you break it down, that's what a missions revival is. We're bringing people in, and they're saying, hey, we're going to go over here. We've been deputized to go over here, and we've been deputized to go to this place and to preach the gospel and start churches. And then we make a business decision. We're going to take you on. Amen? We're going to get behind what you're doing. As a church, we're going to get involved with what you're doing. That's what a missions conference is. It's people sharing their burden and telling us this is what God's called us to do, and this is our plan when we get there, and we would like for you to partner with us to make this possible. And then we say, what's the mind of the church? What's the will of the people? If you're for it, give us a good hearty amen. And people say, amen. You just voted yes in that business meeting for that family. We want to just keep doing it, keep growing and growing, and we want to keep giving. It's God's opportunity to work in our hearts again and say, hey, take another look at this. What do you want to do this year in missions? What do you want to do? How do you want to get involved in this new fiscal year in missions? That's what the business of the missions conference is. And then finally, what is faith promise giving? Well, I mentioned Sunday night, promise giving is human, right? I mean, I can make a promise to Corey, and I'm not going to, but I could. Corey, I'm going to give you $100. You know, yeah, I said I wasn't going to. That's on tape back there, right? Not going to. Somebody said, why not? Because I want you to give it to him. Hey, man. But anyway, I don't want to rob you of the blessing. So anyway, that's promise giving. Right? I promise this man I'm going to give him some money. Well, if I tell him I'm going to give him the money, I need to give him the money. Right? I mean, I shouldn't tell somebody I'm going to do something, not do it. So this is not promise giving. Okay? Promise giving is human. Promise giving depends on me. But faith promise giving depends on God. Promise giving depends on my finances. Now listen to me. Promise giving depends on my finances. So I tell this man I'm going to give him something. Well, that's my finances. I'm telling him based on my finances, I'm going to give you $100. All right? That's promise giving. I'm going to give you $100. I see you have this need. I'm going to give you $100. I'll give it to you next Tuesday. I've made him a promise. I'm going to give him the money next Tuesday, and it's going to be $100. I need to keep that promise. But that's coming out of my finances. That's humanly speaking. That's me. But faith promise giving is not coming out of my finances. That's supplied by the faith that God gives me and the resources that He will send me in order to meet that need. You understand that, right? That's faith promise giving. Now, if you're just making a promise and then working and trying to come up with it every way you can, trying to pencil in, listen, you're missing out on the blessing of faith promise giving. Faith promise giving is allowing God to supply it so you give it. It's a great way to see God work in your life. Now, sometimes, as we've heard Brother David say, sometimes God will tell you to do something in order to have that money. Do you know sometimes God has given me faith promise money and I didn't even realize it and I spent it on me? You say, preacher, you ought to be shot. Well, if you've ever done that, line up and shoot you first. Amen. Maybe they'll run out of bullets before they get to me. Listen, I don't know too many people that hasn't made that mistake. When you're first saved and you first get involved in faith promise missions, you don't fully realize what God is doing, and God will give to, He'll give something to you that He meant to give through you. But yet we let it stop at us. You understand what I just said? So you get this great blessing or something happens, you say, well, look what God gave to me so I can go buy me something. No, God gave you that to give to missions. Because you got with God and He said, hey, I'm going to supply you with this amount to give to missions. So when God begins to supply it, don't spend it on you. And then say, oh, I don't have it to give now. You see what I just said? I hope you understand what I just said. This, a lot of people, this is where they miss the blessing of faith promise missions. Watching God work to meet the promise that you made by faith. All right? That's faith promise, missions giving. So, simple questions. Not always simple answers. But that's about as simple as I know how to put it. It's us getting involved and getting people in areas that God's called them to, partner with them, partnering with them so that, number one, they can get the message to those people and those folks can be saved. But number two, so that we can receive fruit that may abound to our account. Every time Brother David stands up here and reads, or someone, I'm on several of the missionaries' email lists, and so I get emails from several of our missionaries. And every time I read an email and it talks about people getting saved, I get excited about that. Because I realize, hey, that's fruit going to the account, not just to me, because I give, but to every person of Fellowship Baptist Church as part of the missions giving program here at the church. All right, let's stand to our feet.